From the Windows, Doors, and More Studios, your one-stop shop for all your kitchen and bath needs. The Pat Miller Program. Whoa, 92.3 FM and 1190 AM. Depend on it.
And welcome back. It is the Pat Miller Program here on this Saturday as we roll into the third and final hour of the program. And to do that, our third district representative, hopefully our next senator from the state of Indiana, Jim Banks, he's on with us. Congressman Banks, good afternoon to you, sir.
Hey, Pat, good to be with you.
Well, it's good to have you here. Man, you've been kind of busy. Are you aware of that, or did I catch you off guard? You know you've been busy?
I'm tired, but I'm excited about Tuesday, getting the primary behind us so that we can unify as Republicans and do what we have to do to save this country by getting Donald Trump elected in November, getting a Senate majority in the United States Senate, growing the House majority. And Indiana's going to be on the front lines of that, but we got to get through the primary first. So I'm excited about Tuesday and cementing that so we can move forward.
Well, you know, I said to the audience just before I brought you on, I'm really hoping that when this is all said and done, that off the other side of our primaries, we can look at each other, and quite honestly, Republicans to Republicans and Democrats to Democrats across the state, and we can find ways to come together to hold up the banner for whatever party you believe in and whatever whatever your chant is. And then after November, that as best we can, less as parties then at that point, but then as a nation, we can come together. Because I have felt, and this is not an Indiana-only, a third district-only statement, but I have found in places all around this country, it's highly divisive, extremely divisive, and sometimes divisive over things that shouldn't matter. I cannot believe we've got parents. I got to tell you, I'm just going to tell you, Jim, because I've had a day. So I'm just going to tell you. If one of my daughters was at a campus that was costing me $80,000 every year to send them there, and I find out that they're not going to class, and they're keeping others from going to class, barricading the ways to get there, because they want to sit there in support of a group halfway around the world standing against our number one ally, and they can't even name that ally, and they can't even name the group they're standing up for, and they couldn't find Hamas on a map if their life depended on it. But they're out there screaming and hollering, not going to class themselves, stopping it. I'd be on the phone to my child and say, whatever you do, 24 hours from now, your butt had better be home. And yeah. Oh, Dad, how could you talk to me that way? You're sitting there blowing away all that money. Come home and blow it away and try to convince me that what you're doing is not idiotic.
Yes. Send your kid to Trine or Grace College, not to one of these elite,
yeah,
Ivy League schools that are more of a circus than a college. I completely agree, Pat. So you see these protests breaking out on these college campuses all over the country, a little bit in Indiana too, but it's absurd. It shows how radical these universities have become, and they hire these Marxist, anti-American, in many cases anti-Israel faculty members. You've had, by the way, you've had twice as many faculty members at Indiana University arrested than students. So let that sink in for a minute.
Yeah.
It's the faculty, it's the professors, the kids that they're the people that we're entrusting to teach our kids that are the ones getting arrested in these protests. Enough is enough. It's time to get rid of all the radicals on these college campuses and take these schools back, and especially state-run and state-funded universities like Indiana University belongs to Indiana, not to radical professors.
Yep. No, that's exactly right. And because when it's the professors that are out there getting arrested in numbers much larger than even students, and they are the leaders and the teachers of the students that we're paying X number of dollars a year for our kids to go study under them and to look up to them and to say, these are the people you should become. We're out there doing that, and this is the way they treat it. They need to take my money out of the salary of those teachers that have been arrested and send it back to me.
Exactly. That's exactly right. We've seen a little bit has come out of Bloomington in the last few days, and I don't know when do these professors have time to teach kids? They're activists, and they're being paid for by the taxpayers to be activists. In this case, activists who are standing up for Hamas,
yep,
terrorists.
Yep.
I mean, that's crazy to me. That doesn't belong anywhere, especially doesn't belong at a state-run and state-funded university like like IU. So it's time to bring back some sanity to these places. And you've had not just classes canceled, you've had graduations canceled around the country from in some of these universities where it's not even safe to have a college graduation for students to go and pick up their diploma and celebrate graduating. It's really sickening, but I think it's awakened the public and the American people to what's at stake at these colleges. And again, one more reason to look at alternatives to left-wing schools. And we got a lot of them in Northeast Indiana. You don't see pro-Hamas terrorist protests at Trine University.
Yeah.
There are other good examples too. So send your kids there.
No, you're exactly right. The interim chancellor at University of North Carolina, I don't think I could have told you his name before I read this article yesterday, but at North Carolina at Chapel Hill, that's like Bloomington is to IU. Chapel Hill is their number one campus. That's where the bulk of the people are, the ball teams. That's the center of the University of North Carolina. And they have had so much difficulty, and they had protesters not only take down an American flag, but to put an Antifa, an Infinata, a revolution flag, a Gaza flag up above North Carolina in place of our flag. And the kids were all laughing and everything like, oh, we got him now. Well, this interim president got some police officers around him, and they marched with him to the flagpole, and they put the American flag back up there. And he says, this flag represents all of us. To take down that flag and put up another flag, no matter what flag it is, that's antithetical to who we are, what this university stands for, and what we have done for 229 years. He basically, Congressman, said, University of North Carolina does not belong to a small group of protesters. And thankfully, we have a president down in Bloomington that's saying the same thing right here in Indiana.
That's right. I have followed what's going on in Bloomington more than other places because I went to school there, and it's, you know, our largest public institution of higher learning in the state of Indiana. And you have a president there who's trying to crack down on the protesters who are breaking the law. She's had left-wing faculty members call for her ousting over and over again. By the way, former Fort Wayne Mayor Paul Helpke is one of them. It's very disappointing because I thought Paul had more sense than to be on the side of the Hamas protesters.
Well, he also needs to stop historically calling himself a Republican.
That's right. And it's disappointing to see him not back the president of Indiana University up, who's trying to bring stability to her campus and do the right thing and make it about teaching kids and preparing them for their career instead of this left-wing activism. So I'm disappointed in Paul Helmke and some others there for that. But you have President Witten, I wrote about this in the Indianapolis Star this week, who's trying to do the right thing, and taxpayers and leaders, the governor, others should have her back. Senator Todd Young has spoken out in favor of her this week. So did Diego Morales and some others after we wrote our piece. I've spoken with Speaker Todd Houston, who's showing his support for Pam Witten at Indiana University. Stand on the side of the students. Stand on the side of law and order. Stand on the side of just common sense at a place like Indiana University, and have the back of the president who's trying to crack down on all of this nonsense.
No, you're exactly correct. It's troubling. It's disconcerting, and it breaks my heart. I don't want to be overly sympathetic or empathetic. It breaks my heart that this kind of thought comes out openly in the state of Indiana. I get it that not everybody in the state is as conservative as you and me, but I would like to think that we're all within a certain number of IQ percentiles to where everybody with a rational thought would say, you might be for Gaza, you might be for Hamas, I might be for Israel, but in the midst of all the differences, let's discuss it. Let's even yell about it. But I'm not going to burn your house down, don't yank my flag down, and I'm not going to kill your kids over it. I mean, where's common sense around here?
Right. I mean, the problem with this is it's not just about Israel. It's these kids are being taught in these classes by these radical professors to hate America.
Yeah.
And these you look at the signs, you look at the protests, and you know, you look at what these kids are doing, and it's fundamentally, their message is fundamentally anti-America, and that's deeply troubling too. So take back these colleges from the radicals, and hopefully President Witten at Indiana University is able to do that and prevail.
Well, I know going into Tuesday, I know as far as your particular election and your primary, I don't think that John Rust is going to sneak his way back onto the ballot. I don't think you have a whole lot to worry about. You will be the Republican candidate for the Senate in the state of Indiana. Do the Democrats even have anybody they're putting up yet?
There are a couple of Democrats on their side who are running in their primary. I don't know much about that race or who will come out. I won't take it for granted in November. We're going to win on Tuesday, and I'll be the Republican nominee for the United States Senate. But I still have a lot of work to do to go out and travel the state and make my case to be Indiana's next senator. Also, Pat, we have Tuesday night, which is election night. The big third district race is really important. I don't know who's going to win, but I feel like I have a role to play after Tuesday night to bring the party back together. It's been an especially bloody primary.
Yep.
And it's important that Republicans unify because we have a mission to save our country and win elections for Republicans in the fall. The same with the governor's race, a lot of other races around the state. But one thing I love about Allen County Republicans with Chairman Steve Schein is the tradition that we get together at Republican headquarters at noon on Wednesday after every election, and we talk about how we're going to come together.
Yep.
And I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there to give my victory speech on Tuesday night, but I'm going to be there on Wednesday as well to be a part of that unifying process to bring our party together, which I think is going to be really important in this election year, the most important election year of our lifetime. We all have to come together, stick together, and do everything we can to win in the fall.
You know, it always sounds like we're over-aggrandizing when we say that the most important election or the biggest election or the most intense election of our lifetime. I have never in my mind's history been through an election as fervent as this one, and this is just the primary, but I have never been through anything like this in my whole life. It scares me just a little, which is why, and I know that Steve Schein always has the Republicans come together the next day and put their swords down and pull their cloaks together, and I've always appreciated that. But I have a funny feeling, Jim, that we're going to need it more this year than ever before.
Well, I'll do my part, and I know you will too, and it's important that we do. So I think that Northeast Indiana is such a Republican stronghold. We have to come together and do our part to get Donald Trump back in the White House, make sure that Indiana keeps a Republican governor, do our part to keep the Senate a Republican, grow a Republican majority in the Senate by keeping Indiana's Republican seat Republican, and then win the third district race too.
Exactly. Well, listen, be careful coming back. Take care as you guys vote. As always, blessings on the girls and the lovely Amanda. And you guys have a great election day. I will see you Tuesday night down at the Republican Party headquarters, and probably also Wednesday, because if you're gonna have the Coney dogs, you know, from next door, I don't really want to come down and eat one. But you know, I'm like you. When you're in the public, there are certain things that are expected of you.
So, it's a great tradition.
Yes, I'll call and convince your wife. You call and convince my wife, and we'll take it from there. Third District Congressman Jim Banks, next to be Indiana's senator, Jim Banks. Congressman Banks, thank you so much, sir.
Have a good day.
This is the Pat Miller Program on WoWo, 92.3 FM and 1190 AM, and on the WoWo app.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Very glad that you're here, here on the Pat Miller Program. Our thanks for Congressman Jim Banks for being with us. I hope all of us are planning on actively participating in being an American during the primaries this coming Tuesday. That we will, well, yeah, but Pat, you've got no idea how much I have to do at work. You've got no idea how much, there's so much, the furnace is out at the house, we've got, okay, then get up early and be the first one at your voting precinct and get in there and make your voice heard. Just get in there and make your voice heard. I don't understand why it's that hard to decide to be a participant in what's happening. There was one article that I saw by David Horowitz this week. In fact, I think I saw it on Blaze Media. I might not have. But he said, here's part of the problem. He said, how popular primaries are actually foiling conservatives and protecting the uniparty. He said, if Utah would return to the glory of its convention system and make results decisive, it would stand as a model for the nation. Letting the masses decide the party's nominee for down-ballot offices is tantamount to letting the elites and special interests decide the outcome. We are stuck, he says, with a uniparty because incumbents are rarely defeated in district races and are almost never defeated in primaries for statewide offices, including senator and governor. The only way to change the party in one election cycle is by transitioning from popular primaries to representative conventions where high information delegates may separate the frauds from dedicated conservatives. Money can buy you name ID, he says, in popular primaries, but it can't buy you love from highly informed delegates and precinct captains. If Utah, he said, would only return to the glory of its convention system, it would stand as a model for the nation. Well, I'm hoping that we stand as a model. I hope when we wake up Wednesday morning, whether our guy or gal won for that office or not, be it governor or senator or representative or councilman or commissioner, whatever it is, I'm hoping that we can stand up and we can see that the policies still work, the procedures still work in a place like Northeast Indiana. And if we're not convinced that it does, then we're going to have to take a stronger look at how it is that we do what we do. How is it that we do, and is it going to make us better or worse in the course of our protracting the finalization of a primary election? I want to go back to a story I did earlier because I just think this is kind of cool. It's kind of important. I'm going back to the University of North Carolina because back at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, we told you about how a group of pro-Palestinian sympathizers in the midst of their protest were there. And in being there, they came out and they took down the flag and it was getting ready to be put back up. And they grabbed that. They took down the flag. They chopped it up. They burned it. They did whatever. What does the American flag have to do with Palestinians? Do you know how many millions of dollars, billions of dollars over the last 20 years or so have gone to countries that are Arab and many that are Palestinian and taking care of them? I heard a figure the other day, I hope I'm not misquoting, but over the last 30 years, 31% of people that are Palestinian today would not be alive was it not for the support from the United States. Food, clothing, shelter, warmth. Now, if their response is they want to talk to us and treat us like dirty, filthy, rotten vermin, fine, but I don't think we should treat us like dirty, filthy, rotten vermin. I think that we should be very, very careful how we handle it. While the American flag was hoisted up the tall flagpole in the middle of the UNC campus, students chanted USA, 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 and then broke out into the national anthem. This display at UNC came after these pro-Palestinian protesters took down the American flag from the pole and replaced it with a Palestinian flag. Most of the people doing this are not Palestinians. Most of them are not even Arab. Why are they doing it? Because it's the cool thing to do on campus right now. That is just absurdity. In fact, if I were Palestinian, if I were Arab, the very fact that somebody like you was coming out taking down your own flag in support of me would be an embarrassment to me. It would absolutely be an embarrassment to me. that we had to rely on you and the likes of you, or nobody would be able to find us and to support. That's just, it's anti-American is what it is. It is. These anti-Israeli protesters surrounded the pole, chanted Infinata and Free, Free Palestine, the whole From the River to the Sea chant, and go ahead and ask them. Most of them can't tell you what river, what sea. You know, they just can't get there. This is insanity, and it's insanity that is misplaced and misguided, and on top of it all, it's being applauded. People doing things they don't understand, being applauded by people who don't get it either, and somehow that's making them the majority. The University of North Carolina's anti-Israel protesters are very vocal in support for Palestinians, and very often now are using anti-Semitic language. The protesters at campuses across the nation came about 7 months after Hamas terrorists from the adjacent Gaza Strip invaded southern Israel, raping, torturing many, and taking hostages. Israel Defense Forces continue to strike back hard in Gaza, where Hamas, the elected government, uses ordinary Palestinian civilians as shields. Now, if you are a Democrat or you are a Republican and you've decided you're going to support your party to the end, God bless you. I hope you have good reasons for supporting them. I hope they don't disappoint you. But what would you do if the very party that you worked hard to make sure they became the party in power in your state or your nation was the same party when they get under pressure, they come around and they start hiding behind you, taking your children, your teenage girls, and using them as human shields, so if a bullet comes in through the tunnel, it'll hit them before it hits the Hamas guy? How long are you going to keep supporting your political party? Well, that's what they know they're up against there, that is Hamas. And because of that, they have to keep using them as human shields, because they know when left to their own devices, they're going to turn on them. Well, after the flag went up and then it came down that day, and it was torn up and shredded and torn to pieces there on the campus at North Carolina. Just then, the chancellor came and put up another American flag. When he left, they started to take that one down as well. This time, a group of fraternity brothers stepped in and held up the flag so it wouldn't touch the ground. Some pro-Palestinian protesters yelled at them, threw water bottles at them, some of them frozen water bottles, and they said, "We don't care. You're going to have to take us down if you take down this flag." Well, I'm here to tell you that as of this morning, that flag, our flag, still flies at Chapel Hill, the University of North Carolina. I'm going to send a text to the chancellor at North Carolina and thank him for the stand that he took, and I'm going to get the name of that group of kids from that fraternity that stood there for America. Somebody needs to tell them this is what it looks like when America does the right thing. Coming up straight ahead, an election about elections. That's what's happening on Tuesday. We'll talk about it right here as we continue through Saturday on WoWo 92.3 FM and 1190 AM. Well, welcome back as we begin this, our last half hour of the program for this weekend, the Saturday before the explosion, or the Saturday before everything calms down or the dust settles, or whatever happens on Tuesday as we're all rattled around our radios and around our phones and around our TVs. Remember, you can follow what happens even beginning on Tuesday night if you stay tuned to WoWo. Just go to WoWo.com. and see if there are any updates that are done there, and we can let you know. Make sure when you go to WoWo.com, you sign up for WoWo.com. That way, if there's anything new that comes out and they update the system, it'll come right to you. And then Kayla, of course, she'll be ready to hit the ground running full throttle on Tuesday as they sit there and assess everything that happened on Tuesday night. I thought it was interesting. I was grousing through my my weekly edition of the Washington Examiner and looking at Byron York, and I will confess to you now and up front before you, God, and everybody, that I am an enormous Byron York fan. He said this, 2024 will actually be an election about elections. Now, understand something. Byron may not be overtly aware of everything that's going on here in Northeast Indiana. This is a general principle of pulse and temperature taking all over the country. Talked about how a new poll had come out with a number of intriguing findings. Now, follow these, okay? In a two-way head-to-head matchup, former President Donald Trump leads Joe Biden by 5 points, okay? In a two-way match between those two, Trump and Biden, Trump comes ahead by 5 points. In a five-way matchup, oh, this will mess up everything. A five-way matchup that included Biden and Trump, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Cornel West, and Jill Stein, Trump now leads Biden by 5 points. What? I know what you're thinking. What, the exact same thing? The exact same thing. Maybe all those third-party candidates won't have a decisive effect at all on the dynamic between Biden and Trump. The poll also found Biden's job approval bouncing in the range that was discussed earlier in the month on the Washington Examiner. It is 41% as of the date of this article, which was almost a week ago, 41%. It has never been higher than 47. It has also never been lower than 40. Now, that's kind of amazing. Biden's approval rating for many specific issues like immigration and the economy is, of course, terrible. One notable part of the whole thing of the poll concerns what voters think are the most important in the 2024 race. In other words, here's how one of the questions was asked on the poll. For each of the following issues, please tell me how important it is in deciding your vote for president. Now, this is the list of the issues recited in random order. Healthcare, the economy, abortion, climate, effective election integrity, immigration, abortion, and foreign policy. So how will that do? The most important issue, as it usually is, was the economy, which 61% of the respondents called extremely important. Next came election integrity, also extremely important, to 53%. Then immigration was at 48, healthcare 46, abortion 41, foreign policy 38, and climate change 30. Now follow that. 61% said the economy, while over 53% said election integrity. Immigration was right behind at 48. Climate change was at 30. You think it'd be higher. I mean, with all the air it sucks out of the room, you think that'd be it. Now, nearly all of these clearly benefit one candidate for the other. For example, 70% of Republicans said the economy is extremely important, while only 50% of the Democrats said the same thing. On health care, 57% of Democrats said it was extremely important, while only 36% of reporters and Republicans said the same thing. So, did you get that? 70% for the economy, but it was less than that. 57% of Democrats and 36% of Republicans said health care. Well, one of the problems that you have with that is you've got, in the overall poll, extremely important was the economy, 61, election integrity, 53, immigration, 48. Then you get to health care, and it's 46. So 57% said it was extremely important. Well, that's 57% of the 46%. What I'm trying to tell you is it's important. It matters to some people, but it does not rank up there extremely high. It's not up there in the stratosphere. It's just not. The same held true for several other issues. On immigration, 69% of Republicans said it was extremely important, while only 29% of Democrats said so. So you tell me, who thinks that the border ought to be watched more carefully? Who thinks that it should be shut? That would be the Republicans. 49% of Democrats thought that climate change is extremely important, while only 15% of Republicans said it was important. And now, and what you're thinking is, that's high. 49% to 15%, that's 3-1. Yeah, but it's 3-1 of something that only ranked 30% on the entire ballot. That's not real high. On abortion, 58% of Democrats said it's extremely important versus 29% of Republicans. Now, let me just say one thing, too, because I read how it was that the question went forward. It's not really, do you think that abortion is an important issue? Do you think it's a crisis issue? Why would some Republicans not say it's a crisis issue? Probably because of the Dobbs decision from the Supreme Court that said that abortions should be decided not between the Supreme Court and the states or the state. No, it should be a state's issue. That's why they said, take this bill and get it out of here. That's what caused the Democrats to completely, overly, and utterly flip out. They totally flipped out. Well, the Republicans thought it was a fixed issue. On foreign policy, 44% of Republicans said very important versus only 34% for Democrats, which is a slight advantage for Republicans. That leaves perhaps the most important and interesting topic, election integrity. Election integrity. Do we know our elections are okay and are the right people voting? Well, looking at election integrity, judging by the numbers of people who said it is extremely important, it is the second most urgent issue in the race. And it is evenly, almost exactly evenly, divided between the parties. Among Democrats, 54% said election integrity is extremely important, while 55% of Republicans said the same thing. The advantage? Really too close to call. Other indicators show that the even split over election integrity among people who call themselves liberals, 54% said it was extremely important, and among people who call themselves conservatives, 54%. You just have to decide. Is election integrity and the way to get there evenly divided among the hearts and minds of liberals versus conservatives, Republicans versus Democrats? Or do they use different ways to get there? Is it Democrats worried that Trump and Republicans will cheat? Is it Republicans worried that Biden and Democrats will cheat? It appears to be both, in roughly equal measure. Given that, it seems reasonable to expect both Biden and Trump to highlight in their campaigns, in some ways, 2024 will in fact be an election about elections. More coming up, our last segment straight ahead, right here on WoWo 92.3 FM, 1190 AM.
This is the Pat Miller Program on WoWo 92.3 FM and 1190 AM and at WoWo.com.
Closing time, open all the doors and let you out into the world.
Thanks again for being with us on this Saturday. And I know for some of you, I do know some people, you've been amazing. I've seen you out at political events over the last couple of weeks. Some of you are actually setting your clocks to listen to the program, which I appreciate. I don't know that it's necessary. You can find our program at wowo.com, and you could bring up the program and all the stuff that we say just by going to the podcast and pulling it up sector by sector. Remember, when you go to the podcast, each 15-minute segment of the program is its own part of the podcast. So if you go to hour two and you hit number two, that's the second 15-minute segment of that hour. And so if you say, I know that's when he was talking to so-and-so and I wanted to hear it again, it's pretty easy. Just go there and there you are. So again, thanks for being with us. My thanks for the people who have been our guests today, and I appreciate them making time for us. Grant Booker, who is running in 3rd District, Andy Zay, running in 3rd District. The Race for Warrior, which is an incredible thing. We're going to talk about it again next week. That is a big event that's going to occur out there at the Fort Wayne International Airport, if I can get my location straight in my head, the Fort Wayne International Airport. And keep watching the website, because on my page I'm going to put up more about Race for the Warrior as we get closer and closer to it. So we had Andy Zay, Grant Booker, Race for the Warrior, and then Jim Banks in the last segment we just did. But let me finish out with this. Because, again, this goes back a little bit to touch on some of the things we talked about at the very start of the program. The correlation between what's going on between Israel and Hamas and what's going on some of the campuses of our colleges. A scene Tuesday at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, which is their main campus. I saw all the nasty stuff, but did you see the good stuff? One of the things that happened on that campus proves, at least to me, that patriotism is not dead on every American college campus. While an American flag was hoisted up the very tall flagpole in the middle of the UNC campus, students chanted USA, USA, and later burst into a rendition of the national anthem. If you find that, watch it. The first thing you're going to say, man, their singing is way out of key. Yeah, but their heart and their spirit is not out of key. It's exactly where we should be. The patriotic display at University of North Carolina came after pro-Palestinian protesters removed an American flag from the pole and replaced it with the Palestinian flag. I wasn't aware that the parties at play in Gaza, Hamas, had attacked the United States. But they obviously have, because our flag was coming down too. The anti-Israel protesters then surrounded the pole where the flag had stood and chanted Intifada and free, free Palestine from the river to the sea. And it was shared on videos on X by UNC's student newspaper, the Daily Tar Heel. Protesters were encircling the flagpole and causing trouble in a lot of aspects. As other campuses, UNC's anti-Israel protesters are vocal in their support for Palestinians and often use anti-Semitism. In fact, where is it? Hey, give me a moment. I'm looking through my notes. There's an article, and I thought, I'm not going to get to this because it's, and I didn't. And now I can't find the article, which makes me mad. This is what happens when you've got a Saturday program and you just can't get yourself to... Get yourself round up. But somebody had a delicious take talking about not just UNC, but other places where the anti-Israeli pro-Palestinian groups really seem to be taking off. And they had a take. Why don't we do this? Why don't we send all the anti-Israeli protesters in the United States on our campuses? Why don't we send them to Hamas? Why don't we send them to Gaza and let them live under Gaza for a while? I'm sure that Gaza will welcome them with open arms. And once they've been there for about 2 weeks and they realize that Gaza is going to do them no favors, Hamas is not going to give them extra food if they give them any. And what will happen is they will begin to cry and whimper and wail. And then Hamas will start slapping them around and saying, shut up, you're one of us now. And they'll treat them just like they do the people in Gaza. The protests at campuses across the country came about 7 months after Hamas terrorists from the adjacent Gaza Strip invaded southern Israel. The question I asked about an hour ago, why? Why did it take 7 months for this to catch on? Because it's not genuine. It's not genuine. You come in my house and you take my children, or you rape my wife, or you take all of our food and all of our money and all of our belongings. You take everything that we've got and everything that we own, and you haul it out of our house and you throw it in your rickety pickup trucks and you start to drive out of town. Does it take me 6 to 7 months to decide that wasn't right and I need to have some kind of protest? Only if you're brain dead, only if it takes a while for people to get upset, because they've got to work up your influence. They've got to get the lather coming up in you and get you foaming at the mouth and go, yeah, who does Israel think they are? And then you go after them. That's not genuine. That's not genuine. It should have happened at the instant that they came across and started raping and torturing many, taking hostages. Israel Defense Forces continue to strike back in Gaza, where Hamas, the elected government, uses ordinary civilians, Palestinian civilians, uses ordinary ones as protection shields, even if they're children. Does that sound right to you? Does that sound like the kind of thing that you would support if you were there? I don't think I would. But yet some do, and I don't get it. I'll just tell you now, I genuinely, truly don't get it. So what's going on? What is going on? Well, we got to come to grips with what it is that's going on and decide, are these people speaking for us? Are they even speaking for our friends in Israel? I told you earlier, in North Carolina, at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, which is their primary campus, took the flag down. Meanwhile, a group of fraternity brothers stepped in and held up the flag. Because here's what happened. They had taken the American flag down, burned it, shredded it, did whatever. So then another flag came in, and these fraternity brothers watched as their new president hoisted up the flag, and he made the statement, as long as I am president here, this flag will stand. This is our country. This is our flag. Well, the Palestinian protesters started to lower the American flag again. This time, a group of fraternity brothers stepped in and held up the flag so it wouldn't touch the ground. All the while, pro-Palestinian protesters were yelling insults at the young men and threw water bottles at them, which can hurt, by the way, if you've ever had that done, especially when, as in this case, some of the water bottles had been frozen and they're throwing them at them. But they didn't drop their guard. They didn't drop anything. And that flag is up. The president of the university had barricades put around that part of the campus so you can't get to the flagpole. And I'm pleased to tell you, on closed-circuit camera this morning I watched, the flag still flies. So when I look at what's coming up and what's going on, and when I look at the fact that we talked in the last segment that this is an election about elections, I want to make sure that when we wake up the day after our primaries, that in Indiana, Republicans can come together with their arm around other Republicans and Democrats can do the same. And then after November, if our party or our candidate doesn't exactly get what we want, we still find ways to bridge gaps. Then and only then can we make sure that we're getting the kind of government that we want, that we had the kind of election that we needed to have. We'll be back next week. See you next Saturday at 3 o'clock right here on Mobile 92.3 FM, 1190 AM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.